From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you again and welcome to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. It's good to have you listening in today as once more we turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and consider a little more concerning the incarnation of the Son of God. So stay tuned. Before we proceed with the program, however, let me do as I like to do in every broadcast and remind you of how to get in touch with us. We're offering the booklet Election and Reprobation, a very important subject, one on which there's not a lot of teaching and one on which there's not a lot of understanding. It's certainly something that I think you would do well to follow up on. Then also we have our full-color quarterly magazine, dealing in this issue with some cults like Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others. Now, you can get your copies of these by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or by calling us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. And as I have been doing day by day, I'd remind you of our website and invite you to join us on the web. You'll find us at ltbsradio.com, or you can even spell it out, letthebiblespeakradio.com. And there you'll find various things in our web store, books that will do you good. I'll not take time to go into the details of those today. And also you'll be able to listen again to the audios of the programs here that you're listening to on the radio. So we look forward to hearing from you. Now here's an old-fashioned traditional Christmas carol, The First Noel. politicians don't often get a lot of thanks for whatever good they do. Of course, it may be argued that generally they have not been guilty of doing too much good. However, it's time to give credit to President Bush for something positive that he did during his recent visit to the Far East. While he was in Japan and before he visited China, he publicly lectured the Chinese communist leaders on the subject of their violation of human rights, and particularly their treatment of religious leaders and believers. Before going to the Far East, the president had received a document from Chinese Christians detailing the mass imprisonment of their evangelists and pastors. Clearly, the president got the message and was determined to put some pressure on the Chinese. It's significant that the day before President Bush arrived in China, the Chinese authorities released a number of imprisoned pastors and other Christians. They still have not returned the church property that they stole from these people at the time of their arrest, but at least this was a start. However, it was for the most part window dressing, for thousands of Christians remain imprisoned in China, and the fate of the pastor and his wife, of whom I spoke to you last week, imprisoned for daring to print and freely distribute Bibles to their people, is unchanged. As we comfortably enjoy our freedoms at this Christmas season, and indeed at every other season, let us, as the scripture says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. If one part of the body of Christ is suffering, the whole body should feel the pain. The pastors who gained unexpected release in China came out of prison saying that they counted it an honor to suffer for Christ's sake. That is a truly great and Christian response, the answer of faith to the crude force of the enemy. However, those suffering saints need our prayers. Let us never forget them, and diligently lift the cause of the persecuted church across the world before the throne of grace. And let us require our political leaders to keep up the pressure on countries like China, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, Indonesia, and a host of other countries whose hands are stained with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. As President Bush proved in China, a lecture from the leaders of powerful Western nations can have an immediate and a beneficial effect, even on such people as the Chinese communists.
In land or store I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. Soon will this fleeting life be o'er, and then upon the other shore I'll be with him forevermore, forevermore with Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus.
In our study of the Incarnation from Hebrews 10 verse 5, we've been discussing the purpose of the Son of God in taking a human body. Today we show that He took a body to elevate man to a glory far beyond that of any other creature, even the angels of heaven.
To elevate man to a glory far beyond any other creature is the purpose of the Incarnation. I want you to follow me very carefully here. A body thou hast prepared me. As I've said, that is Christ's humiliation. But is Christ humiliated today? No. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Christ is now risen from the dead and entered into His exaltation. But He's there as a man. Do you ever stop to think of that? When the Lord Jesus Christ went back into heaven, He did not claim entrance into heaven in virtue of His rights as God. He claimed entrance into heaven in virtue of His shed blood. That's a very important truth. It's as the man, Christ Jesus, He has entered into heaven. And in Him you have the true dignity and the highest destiny of man. This was God's purpose for man. Now, this is where I've got to be very quick, because it's a huge subject. When God created man, what was His purpose for him? Remember that the Garden of Eden was what's called a probationary state. It was meant to be for a brief time of probation. But what was to follow the probation? Psalm 8 tells you God's purpose for man. Thou hast put all things under His feet. That was God's purpose for man. We have somehow bought into the notion that God's purpose for the angels was to have them in ranks higher than man. That was not God's purpose. He made man lower than the angels for a little time. That's the time of probation. In order to exalt him, to put everything in creation under His feet. Now let me tease you with something. If I were to ask 999 people out of 999 people out of a million, what was the sin for which Satan was cast out of heaven? They would say it was because he wanted the place of God. And I think you've got it absolutely wrong. I believe that what he wanted was the place of man. He wanted that supremacy over all creation which God gave to man, not to angels. Now we come back to Psalm 8 and we come back to Hebrews 2 with it. And what do we find? We see not yet all things put under His feet, do we? No. But what do we see? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, crowned with glory and honor. We see Christ exalted. And what's the end of that story? What does the last Adam do? Last Adam gains the supremacy and the exaltation that the first Adam threw away by his sin. God prepared Christ a body. God made his Son to become human flesh, to exalt human flesh to the highest dignity among all creation. How do I know this? Let me leave with you a verse that I have quoted many times. It has the sad distinction of being one of the least known verses among God's people, because it happens to reside right next door to one of the best known verses. And therefore it gets overlooked. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Mark it, learn it, digest it, think upon it, praise God for it, look forward to its fulfillment, realize that it's true, and never let the devil rob you of its joy. To him that overcometh, this is the word of Christ, the exalted Christ, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Tell me, did any angel ever have that dignity? No, sir. That's the dignity that Satan wanted, and he can never get. Now do you understand that text of the psalmist? That he took us from the dunghill and set us among princes. Now do you understand the powerful implications of this statement of the Savior? Father, you've prepared me a body in which to suffer and to die, that I might rise from the dead and be set down with you in the throne of heaven as the God-man, and bring with me the whole race of redeemed sinners. Do you see now something of the glory far beyond that of any other creature that God has given through the incarnation, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? So here's the glorious purpose of the incarnation. It's a successful purpose. Today Christ is at the head of a great multitude which no man can number of redeemed sinners, of people that he has brought into this dignity and unto this destiny. The Father prepared him a body. I trust you'll think of that, because that physical body prepared is the guarantee of the mystical body prepared, of the church redeemed, of believers brought safely to heaven in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. So I close this morning. I want just to say to those of you who are without Christ, some of you have set your eyes on glory and pleasure and exaltation and this and that and the other thing that the world may give. Do you ever see Christmas decorations that have been painted to look like gold, silver, but they're just actually some very flimsy, cheap, tawdry thing? Do you ever see them? When the season's gone, the elements have blown upon them, and you look at them, and you wonder, would anybody ever really spend money for things like that? Stop now and think. Would anybody sell his soul for something so tawdry? The that's the best that the world could ever give you. It'd be as cheap, as tawdry, as meaningless, as useless. Whereas here is the incarnate Son of God. He says, God gave me a body to take you from the dunghill and set you at the throne of glory. Make sure you have Christ today. Anything else is a bauble that's worthless. Make sure you have Christ. Believing in Him, you will be saved. And you'll reach this truest dignity and highest destiny of the sons of man. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. How we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious Savior we have. What a marvelous truth is the truth of the incarnation of the Son of God. We confess we cannot plumb its depths. We confess, our God, that it baffles us that God could love guilty, wretched, unlovely sinners in such a way as to give His own Son, to give Him to incarnation and crucifixion and death and sin-bearing. O God, we cannot understand it, but today we rejoice that Thou hast done it. Father, we bless Thee for the covenant of grace. We magnify Thee for the terms of that covenant in Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, for the gift of eternal life and indeed of the gift of grace and faith to receive it. Lord, bring sinners by Thy grace to Christ, and grant that those who are in Christ may go out of this place rejoicing in the great salvation we have and the glorious Savior in whom we have it. Take our thanks, our God, we pray. And as we separate one from another now, grant us journeying mercies. And grant, O Lord, that the beauty of the Lord Jesus will be upon us. And our God, that we may be to the praise of His glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.